The final horn is blown and the fat lady is singing. But you're just tuning in?
Gee willikers, did I miss the match, eh?
Yes, but after every Southern California broadcast, Nick and Daryl are doing a little overtime of their own. It's King's Talk. Heard exclusively on 790 KABC, covering all things Kings and taking your calls at 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222. Call in now with your thoughts and comments on tonight's game and be a part of the show. Kings Talk with Nick Nixon and Daryl Evans starts now.
Welcome back to Kings Talk. Daryl Evans along with Nick Nixon. We're at the mixing room at the JW Marriott tonight. The Kings defeat the Edmonton Oilers by a score of 4-3. A late goal by Nick Shore's second of the season concludes the Kings' five-game homestand. The Kings will now take to the road. They'll start Tuesday night in Philadelphia against the Flyers. Five straight on the road. They'll come back home for three and then take off for another six on the road. Back home for one. Four more on the road before the year comes to an end. So a lot of road hockey coming up for the Kings. 15 out of 19 games will take place on the road, and Kings wanted to build a little bit of a cushion, and they did that tonight, staying atop the Pacific Division with the victory tonight. So a big win for the Kings tonight again. Final score over the Edmonton Oilers at Staples Center by a score of 4-3. If you want to give us a call, comment on tonight's game, the upcoming road trip, what's going on with the Kings, feel free to do so. It's 800-222-5222. That's 800-ABC-KABC. A lot of good things going on with the Kings right now. Tonight, Tanner Pearson got on the score sheet, picking up a goal. Marian Gaborik picked up his second of the season. Nick Shore picked up his second of the season. So getting contributions from a few different players definitely helped the offensive attack, and the Kings were able to take the four goals and defeat the Oilers. The victory for the Kings was a seventh straight by the Kings here at Staples Center over the Edmonton Oilers. Oilers are a young hockey club, and we saw a couple of their young players tonight. Taylor Hall, he picked up a couple of points. Drysdale picked up a goal early in a hockey game. These are players, former first overall picks by the Edmonton Oilers that have got great futures in the National Hockey League. All right, let's get right to the phone lines. We've got a lot of callers that want to comment on the Kings, and we'll go to Thomas. Thomas, you're on Kings Talk. What are your questions or comments tonight?
I have a question. Oh, thanks for having me on. I have a question. This is not about the Kings or anything. It's who was the first goalie to ever be an assistant or a captain on the team?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm going to have to think a little bit about that one. I'll think about it as we go on here in the show. And if you keep listening, we're going to throw a couple of answers out at you. I'm probably going to say, let's see. You're saying the first goaltender that played with the Kings that went on into some coaching capacity?
No. The first goalie to ever be assistant or captain on a team.
Oh, the first goalie to ever be assistant or captain. As far as I know, it's Roberto Luongo in the Vancouver Canucks.
He was a captain or assistant?
He was the captain.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, that's the only one that I can recall off the top of my head, and that was just a couple of years ago.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any comments? Were you watching the game tonight?
Yeah.
Who won?
Kings.
What was the score?
4-3.
All right, you were watching the game. You were at the game. Do you play, Thomas?
No, I don't play hockey.
Who's your favorite player?
Alexander Ovechkin.
Ah, and why Alexander Ovechkin?
Because I'm a huge Capitals fan. And I like his style of playing.
Oh. How old are you, Thomas?
12.
12 years old, so you've been watching him for a few years, eh?
I've been watching the Kings since I was 3 months old.
I remember, yeah, you probably got a good memory of those games when you were 3 months in there with a full diaper and a bottle in your hand. What was the first game you watched?
I don't remember really.
I know you don't. That's good. It's great that you're a hockey fan. You've been a hockey fan for a long time. We appreciate you calling in, Thomas. And next time you're at a game, why don't you come up to the radio booth and say hi to Nick and I?
Okay.
All right. Take care. All right. We're going to get to Glenn. Glenn, you're on Kings Talk. What are your questions or comments tonight?
Yeah, hey guys, this is Glenn from Glendale. I just want to say congratulations to Nick Nixon for getting into the Hall of Fame. Well overdue, but congratulations anyways. And my prayers go out to all the families in Paris. And awesome game. I was there, and it was just unbelievable how just emotional how everything can get after a goal. And then going into 3-3, I thought we were going to have to go into overtime, but that great goal at the end of the game, oh, it was unbelievable. My question is, what do you guys think our best chances of getting at least 3 out of 5 on this next road trip?
Well, it's not going to be an easy trip. You know, you look at the opponents. Philadelphia is always a tough building to go to, Glenn. The Detroit Red Wings, you know, regardless of who they have in their lineup, the Joe in Detroit is a tough building as well. Carolina and then Florida with a couple of games to close things out. I think, you know, you have to take it one game at a time. That's the approach that you have to take. Mentally, you have to go into that. The Kings have had success this year on the road. They've won 4 and lost 1 of the 5 games that they've been on the road. It's going to be important for the Kings to get some contributions from a lot of different guys. If they go onto the road and they're only going to get scoring from that one line, it's going to be a lot easier for the opposing teams to be able to check that line. Not only the forwards that are on the ice, but they also get their number one defensive pairing out there in the matchup. So if they can start getting a little bit of balanced attack, and they were able to do that tonight, getting goals again from Pearson, Gavrik. So that top line with Kopitar, they were able to get on the score sheet. And then Toffoli and Lucic, along with Carter, they contributed as well. And now you get a little extra in there when Shore contributes with a goal. So if the Kings can get 3 out of the 4 lines going, it's going to be they're going to put themselves in a really good position. One thing that we've seen the last couple of weeks also is the defense has been very active, and they've helped contribute with some not only some goals but a lot of assists from back in the blue line. So it's going to take a balanced attack, and I think if the Kings can do that with the solid goaltending, stay out of the penalty box, they're going to be in a good position to grab 3 out of 5 games, like you were saying.
All right, thank you very much, man. Go Kings, go. I love
right.
you guys when I'm on the road. Thank
All
you
right,
very much.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate the call. 800-222-5222. We have Kendall and Stephanie. The Ice Crew ladies are here helping us out. Thank you very much. Let's go to, is it Ara or Era in Glendale? Welcome to Kings Talk. Hello.
Hello, this is Ara.
Hi,
and,
Ara.
I was listening on the game today. I didn't watch on TV. And two questions for the road trip, upcoming 5-game road trip. How many times we will see Enroth on the goal? And also, what's the timeline on Matt Green returning and on this road trip?
Yeah, well, Matt Green is getting closer. He has missed the last, 14 games, including tonight. I don't know. Possibly, maybe on this road trip at some point. Kings leave for about 10 days on Monday. As far as Jonas Enroth, you know, he's played well in all 3 starts. And there's only one set of back-to-backs on this upcoming trip, and that would be Carolina and then Florida Sunday, Monday of next week. So you would think that based on Enroth's good play that he'll get one of those 2 games. And who knows? So like we said earlier, the more he plays and the more he wins, the more he's going to play. I mean, that's just common sense. So that would be my take on that.
Yeah, I think the way that the trip is set up at the beginning with a game on Tuesday and then the Kings don't play till Friday in Detroit against the Red Wings, it spreads it out nicely there. So I'm sure that Daryl Sutter will go with Quick in the first 2 games and then kind of play it by ear from there. You know, as long as he continues to, you know, play well, he's going to continue to play. But the back-to-back is a no-brainer. I think we're going to see Enroth for sure in that situation. Also, take a look at the records that Enroth has against the opposing teams. You know, that might play into the equation a little bit. But regardless of who's in net for the Kings, you know, both guys have provided them with the goaltending that they need, and it's going to be important for them to come up with timely key saves on the road. You talked about Matt Green. I think for the first time, Matt Green will join the club on the road. Whether or not he's ready to play, we'll find out as the trip gets going. But he's getting closer. He's participating in practice, getting in some of those competitive drills. So definitely making some headway, and it'll be great to get him back in the lineup.
All right, Ara, you want a question tonight. You want a chance to win some popcorn. Oh, we lost him. Okay. All right, here's our question before we get to our next caller. We had the Edmonton Oilers here tonight. Want to know who is the first member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes. Who is the first member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes? There are some logical guesses on the top of my head that I would go for. 800-222-5222 here in the mixing room. Hello there, sir. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
My name is Don. I'm from Ventura. And just want to thank you guys doing a great job. Congratulations, Nick, on your Hall of Fame induction. My question is, when you guys do your preparation, what all goes into that? And tell me your thoughts on the old simulcast.
Yeah. Well, a lot of teams years ago didn't do a lot of games on TV. So most of the broadcast, when I started with Bob Miller in 1981, most of our broadcasts were radio only. And I think we did 15 TV games my first year. And then it changed when Prime Ticket came into existence. And I think then we started to do like 35, 37 games. But back then, most sports did mostly radio. And when you did TV, they just took the audio from the TV production and put it on radio. And then after a while, everybody started televising all of the games, and the crews were separate, which production-wise is the way to do it. So so that's that. That's the story of, you know, it's interesting. I think there's Buffalo and Dallas. I still are the only two teams in the NHL that do simulcasts. They take the radio feed from TV or the audio from TV and put it on radio. What's your name again, Don? Yeah, okay. Here's the question again, a chance to win the Bailey's Best of Popcornopolis gift basket. First member of the Oilers to pick up 1,000 career penalty minutes.
My only guess would be Craig McTavish.
Good guess, not the right one. Thanks for stopping by, appreciate it. 800-222-5222, the Kings over the Oilers tonight, 4-3. Arizona lost, Vancouver lost, so the Kings have a 3-point lead atop the Pacific Division as they get set to head out on the road, which will begin in Philadelphia Tuesday night with the Flyers. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with more of your calls here at the mixing room, JW Marriott, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Kings Talk, back right after this.
Someone told me that we gained a whole hour with daylight savings time. 25 hours in a day now. What's that?
Your top reasons to visit Morongo.
You could win a brand new Infiniti Q50.
Number two.
Don't miss the amazing Morongo $300,000 giveaway.
And the number one reason to go to Morongo Casino Resort and Spa this week.
Spice up your weekend with Little Joe y La Familia. Performing live Friday, November 20th.
Morongo. Good times.
Do you have trouble getting a good night's sleep? Most adults do for one reason or another, and I was no different until I found My Pillow, and I've never slept better. If you've got back or neck pain, if you suffer from insomnia, if you snore, do what I did. Get a My Pillow. It's made in the USA, it's machine washable and dryable, and it comes with a 10-year warranty. And if it's not the best night's sleep you've ever had, you've got 60 days to return it for a full refund. But don't just take my word for it. My Pillow was just selected as the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. So My Pillow is making their biggest offer in history. Listen to this. Buy any My Pillow at the regular price, and you'll receive a second My Pillow absolutely free. Just use discount code KINGS at checkout, and you'll also receive an unprecedented 50% off everything on the MyPillow.com site. Find out what more than 4 million people, including me, Nick Nixon, already know. My Pillow. Best night's sleep you've ever had. Guaranteed. And remember, use the discount code KINGS at MyPillow.com.
Get your hands-free device, lower your radio, and give us a buzz. Not necessarily in that order. 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222. It's King's Talk with Nick and Daryl.
All right, back here at the mixing room again, the Kings over the Oilers by a score of 4-3. We talked about all the first-round picks the Oilers have in their lineup. They missed a couple of them tonight. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, first overall pick a couple of years ago, had the flu. And Connor McDavid, first overall this past summer, broken collarbone. They tell us he'll be ready around the All-Star game. So late January, early February. And that would mean that Kings fans will see Connor McDavid a couple of times, because The Oilers have two more visits to L.A., and I think one is in February and one is in March, February 25th and March 26th. We saw him in Edmonton a couple of weeks ago, and pretty impressive, pretty impressive. All right, the question, who is the first member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes? It's not Craig McTavish. Let's go to Sean in La Habra, 800-222-5222. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the show. Yes. What's up?
Gentlemen, good evening. First of all, I want to say my thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Paris. Couple of things. Hopefully we get to see Connor McDavid soon because I want to see that guy play hard as he can. And second, this year, the old Ontario Reign, now the Monarchs, I feel like, see how, if you know how they're doing this year.
Well, the Ontario Reign is in first place. I think they played tonight on the road.
Yeah, yeah, they got beat tonight.
Yeah, okay. So what is their second regulation loss? So
yeah, the current So the current Manchester team, our ECHL team.
What was that?
No, they're our current ECHL team, the Manchester Monarchs. See how they're doing.
Yeah, I'd have to check on them. Daryl, we'll try and get up their standings. But I know Ontario is
eight,
in first
two and
place.
Two.
Yeah, 8-2-2. Sean, who is the first member of the Oilers to get 1,000 career penalty minutes? It wasn't Craig McTavish. Any idea?
All I know is I think the streak is going to continue. Bing.
Give me a name. Are you there, Sean? No, I guess we lost him. Okay. Incorrect. I could read his mind. He was wrong. We're here at the mixing room at the JW Marriott. Another Kings fan here. Hi there. What's your name?
Hi, Nick. I'm Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I live here in L.A., and I wanted to congratulate you again. You and Bob are absolute heroes of mine. I've been listening to you guys since 84. You're the soundtrack to my teenage years and my 40s. Congratulations. It gave me chills to listen to your beautiful speech the other night.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that, yeah.
My question is, how do you and Daryl feel about this aggressive policy that NHL coaches have of pulling the goalies early, especially when there's more than a one goal differential? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it doesn't bother me. Patrick Waugh, I guess, was the first coach to do it on a regular basis in the NHL. Patrick's now in what, his third year in the NHL with Colorado. And it's a strategy other teams have employed. I mean, if you're down by three goals with 5 minutes left, I mean, the odds are you're not going to win the game, so try something different. And if you just happen to get an early goal with the goalie pulled, and then there's a penalty later on in the period and you get a power play. So I think it's a philosophy. What do you have to lose? I mean, the game probably is lost anyway, so pull out all the stops. I don't have a problem with it.
No, I think it's a chance for, you know, everybody says, you know, why coaches don't sometimes do it more or do it even earlier in games. Why wait till the last minute? You never know when you're going to get a faceoff in that offensive zone. And if you are down by a few, again, it gives different guys a chance. Not necessarily that, you know, you want to knock your goals against down or, you know, you don't want to rub it into those guys. But it's amazing when that end is empty, how everybody kind of tightens up a little bit. And it's great practice. It's the only way that you get a chance. So when maybe it really does count, that you're able to take advantage of it.
Now, any idea who's the Edmonton Oiler to get 1,000 career penalty minutes before any other Edmonton Oiler?
I have to go with Dave Semenko.
Dave Semenko would be a very good guess, and it would not be the right guess, unfortunately. Yeah, he's one of two guys that comes to mind right away. So it's not Semenko, and it's not McTavish. Thanks for stopping by. Let's go to Blair in Rancho Santa Margarita, 800-222-5222, Kings Talk. Talk Radio 790. Hi, Blair.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just got back from a football game, so I did not get to see the game. And anyways, I don't think you care about football. You care about hockey, so let's talk about the Kings.
How did your team do? What, did you see the high school team?
No, it was in high school. It was Saddleback College, and we're a football team in, you know, on Mission Viejo, and we just beat Golden West to become champions of our conference.
Well,
so
congratulations. Congratulations to the team. Yeah.
Yeah,
you missed a good game.
Hockey.
Yeah, you missed a good game. Kings had a couple of two-goal leads. Oilers rallied and then Nick Shore scored late to win it. What's up tonight?
Yeah, tonight, let's talk about their road games. A big one I see is Detroit. Detroit's one of the big games I'm going to watch, which I'm going to try to watch. Actually, I'm going to miss that one. So then Tuesday, okay, instead of Detroit, because I'm going to miss that one, Philadelphia, they're not a bad team. Tuesday, I am going to watch that one because it's 4:30 on FSNW, FSN West.
Well, it'll be a good one. The Flyers, I think, are a little disappointed in their start. They won tonight in overtime. Jake Voracek finally got his first goal. He had the most shots of any player without a goal up until tonight, but he scored in overtime. So, you know, road games are tough. But the Kings have won four of their first five on the road, 4-1. They're all Eastern teams, so it's not critical, but you want to try and bank some points early. Blair, who is the first member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes? It's not Craig McTavish. It's not Dave Semenko. Who is it?
Sorry, you got me there.
I stumped you, did I?
Yes,
all
you
right.
Did.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, 800-222-5222. Just to remind everybody, if you do win the trivia, you will get Bailey's Best of Popcornopolis gift basket. The gift basket filled with all of your game time favorites, such as world-famous caramel, cheddar cheese, kettle corn, cinnamon toast, and, of course, zebra. Each flavor handcrafted one batch at a time using only the finest and the freshest ingredients available. And we'll get you your basket faster than a Nick Shore game-winning goal slap shot. Nick Shore with a rebound for the game winner tonight. Be sure to visit popcornopolis.com for store locations and delicious gifts for every budget. All right, still don't have the right answer. We have a gentleman here at the mixing room. Hello there. What is your name?
Chris.
Chris, how are you?
Doing well on yourself.
Good. What's up?
My question is... tonight was something that I've seen that I've noticed late or for the last couple seasons is the lack of speed and creativeness from some of the players on the team, for actually most of the players. I know Sutter likes to grind it out, but do you think that there's a lack of speed or lack of creativeness against teams like Edmonton or actually better Chicago that where there's a problem?
Yeah, well, you know, Edmonton is a fast, quick team. I talked to Tanner Pearson on the pregame show about it, and, you know, they've got some tremendously skilled forwards that are quick and or fast. Chicago obviously has that element. I think in the perfect world, that element would be something you would want more of on the team. Not sure who would replace who, but I think the speed and quickness, in some nights it's exposed, but most nights, it's not an issue with the Kings.
Yeah, I think Kings are playing to their identity, and it has worked for them in the last little while. I think, though, in the way that the game is transitioning, they're probably, in the next couple of years, as they go to the draft each year, probably have to look for that combination of size and speed. I mean, it's, you know, you're looking for the perfect athlete, you know, if you can combine the two. We've seen some a lot smaller guys have success in the NHL, and... Kings have a couple of those players, guys like Jordan Wheel. We haven't seen enough of him at the NHL level. He's excelled at the American Hockey League level, but he hasn't had his opportunity here. So being a little bit smaller, you've got to excel with your skill. And I think the Kings right now are still kind of, I don't want to say old school, but I still think they're playing to their identity. And when they execute it, they play quite well. And it's not that the Kings aren't capable of being more creative. I think when you see the Kings at the top of their game, there's games like you saw when they scored four goals there against Florida, like the second half of the game, all of a sudden they get to a different level. I think when the Kings are being that creative style, they're in the offensive zone, they're connected in five-man units. They're cycling the puck, they're wearing the other team down. They've got some active defense. You got guys like Alec Martinez, Drew Doughty, Jake Muzzin, all three of those guys, Ehrhoff now back in the blue line, McBain, they all have the ability to be able to create some offense as well. So it's not that they don't have it, but they do play a very structured, disciplined game. And I think that's one of the reasons why they have been able to win is because of that structure and discipline. There's some great teams in the NHL that haven't found a way to win. Some of it might be because the coaches can't get them to play that with that structure and discipline.
Good comment. Just following up, there's a quote from Daryl Sutter. He's talking about the Oilers. They have such a good skating team that they got some open ice on us when they started coming back. Two of the goals were rush goals and the Taylor Hall goal. Our defense didn't get very good reads on. So, yeah, a couple of goals tonight. Well, you heard what Daryl Sutter thought. All right. Before you go, you like popcorn. Everybody likes popcorn. Give me the right answer. Who's the first member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes? It's not McTavish. It's not Semenko. Think of some tough guys who played for the Oilers.
McSorley.
No. That's the obvious one. But he played with Marty McSorley. That's another hint. Thanks for stopping by. 800-222-5222. We're at the mixing room at the JW Marriott. The Kings close out the homestand with a 4-3 win over the Oilers. You get to three goals, you're in pretty good shape. The Kings, when they score three or more goals in a game, are 8-0-0 this season. And let's go to Rancho Palos Verdes. And Dan is next up on the show, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Nick. How you doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I wanted to call, and I didn't realize that you had been inducted into the Hall of Fame, but congratulations. My dad and I had season tickets. I think it was from 82 to 86, back with the Kings, and when the seats were quite affordable, and they had some good teams back then. But that's when we used to listen to you guys on the radio, you and Bob, all the time. So it brings back some good memories. I'm very happy for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I had a lot more facial hair back then.
It's still on the roof, though, Nick.
Yeah, I know it. Thank goodness.
I had a lot more hair in my head, too, Nick.
Yeah, really, really. You got a comment, or you want to take a stab at our question tonight, Dan?
Well, I was driving home from a meeting tonight. My wife and I, we were listening to the post-game show, and so I didn't get to see the game. I'm glad they won. I was in I got a job transfer to Detroit for about 22 years, and I was out there in Red Wing land, and, of course, I grew to admire their style of play and everything. But when the Kings would come in town, I'd get tickets every once in a while and go root for the Kings, and I always got some hard stares from the fans there. It was kind of funny. And then I had to explain to them that I was out there in a job transfer and I'd had season tickets with the Kings. And then they'd usually back off. I never got hit or anything. But it was always fun to go to the Red Wings games and root for the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, they're great fans in Detroit. And, yeah, I mean, that's one city where they, I think, respect the opposition, especially the fans. Of course, the last 20 years, it's a tough ticket to get. They've had such great teams in the Motor City. Dan, who is the first member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes? Not McTavish, not Semenko, not McSorley. Think of another tough guy. Any idea?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mark Messier.
Mark Messier plays tough, scores a goal or two. No, but that's a good guess, too, Mark Messier. All right, we might stump everybody. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Again, we're here at the mixing room. We have the ice ladies helping out. Kendall, the vet. Which one is Kendall? Stephanie, the rookie. Have you had the rookie dinner yet? Where the rookies pay the veteran all the dinners?
No, they bake, okay. They bake it now.
Yeah, yeah, right. Hi there, sir. What's your name?
My name is Mike from Simi Valley.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
First
what's
of all,
up?
I want to say, Nick, congratulations for Kings Hall of Fame. It's phenomenal to even talk to you.
Well, it's nice talking with you. Thank you.
Hey, my question is, Matt Green, how big of an impact is he going to make when he comes back? If and when he comes back, I mean, I'm assuming he's coming back soon. Hopefully, you know, a veteran guy, hopefully he makes a big impact. What do you guys think?
Well, you got to look at Matt Green hasn't played for a while. I'd almost go back to he hasn't played since last year, only having played just a little bit at the beginning before he got hurt. So it's going to take him a period of time. That's why it's important for the Kings to create an environment where they can ease him into it. Matt plays on your third pair. He plays a physical style. He's a penalty killer out there. So staying out of the penalty box will benefit the Kings when he gets in the lineup. Simple play. And right now, it would be a good situation for him to come into. He's getting close. I think he's going to travel with the team for the first time now. And when he gets in, Matt keeps his game simple. Chip it out of his own zone, take the body when he gets his chance. But the physical presence that he provides, especially on the road, will definitely have an impact on the way the opposing teams approach playing against the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the ice playing up against Matt Green, there are tough minutes you're playing because Matt makes it tough on you. All right, not Messier, not McSorley, not Semenko, not McTavish. First member of the Oilers to get 1,000 career penalty minutes. Who is it?
Two, I'm going to go with Kelly Buchberger.
Another. That's no. Boy, you guys are coming up with all the ones I didn't even think of, but they're great answers. Kelly, former King as well later in his career. I forgot about Kelly. Yeah, former captain of the Oilers as well. All right, 800-222-5222. So far, we're stumping you. First member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes. We'll take a break. Back with more calls in the mixing room. Talk Radio 790, KBC. Kings talk the Kings 4-3 tonight. A win over Edmonton. Kings in first place. A 3-point lead over Vancouver and Arizona. We'll be right back. Back here at the mixing room, 4-3, the Kings win it. Nashville won their home game. They shut out the Jets 7-0 tonight. And I saw a highlight, and the highlight was not of any of the goals. It was the penalty boxes. 4:44 into the third period. Salamaki got two for slashing, and I don't know who he slashed, but these were the penalties that were handed out at 4:44. Of the second period. Ellis, two for unsportsmanlike conduct. Neal, two for unsportsmanlike conduct. Fisher, Ekholm, Wilson, unsportsmanlike conduct. Salamaki slashing. Pekka-Rinne for leaving the goal crease. Those were just the Nashville penalties. Winnipeg penalties. Everybody on the ice got 2 minutes for unsportsmanlike conduct. Kopp, Stewart, Trouba, Stafford, Wheeler, and Scheifele. I have no idea what happened. I've never seen it. They had 12 players in the penalty box at once. Crazy. How does everybody on the ice get two for unsportsmanlike conduct? Do they all go up to the referee and give him the bird? What's that about?
They even got the goalie leaving the crease.
The goalie left the crease. So it looks like the slashing minor to Salamaki started it. Maybe he slashed the goaltender of Winnipeg. That's weird. I mean, all those minor penalties and the penalty boxes were overflowing, obviously. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. I have no idea why all those penalties were called. Wes McCauley was one of the referees. So, yeah, weird. All right, our question. We've had some great guesses, but not the right answer. The first Edmonton Oiler to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes, Buchberger, McSorley, Semenko, McTavish. Let's go to, who do we have here, Dan? Mary in Porter Ranch. Hi, Mary, welcome to the show.
Hi.
What's up tonight?
Huh?
What's up?
I was at the game and I got home.
How did you like the game?
It was amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you like to try a guess at our answer, our question?
Yes.
Okay, who was the first member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes? Give me the right answer, Mary.
I think it was Glenn Anderson.
Glenn Anderson. No. Incorrect. Mary, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right. Boy, we might just stump everybody. 800-222-5222. Brian driving around L.A. looking for another hockey game to go see. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going,
Nick?
How
are you? Good. What's up?
Well, first I just want to say congratulations on the Hall of Fame induction.
Thank you.
I've been watching and listening to you since 1990, and one of my favorite segments was the one you did with Dave Taylor where Dave predicted the future. Do you remember that?
I do. And a lot of fans have come up over the years and mentioned that to me and Dave. Matter of fact, Dave was in the scouting the game the other night. I saw him. But Yeah, it's funny because over the years, especially when we first showed that that feature, like the next year or two, people came up to us and said, you know what, you had me going for about two or three questions, then I figured it out. So we hooked of you in on that. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I loved it. My question for you guys is, I mean, as fans, we get frustrated watching the Kings lose or watching them play, you know, when they basically throw a power play away. Do you guys, as broadcasters, do you guys get frustrated? I mean, like, I can sometimes sense it or in your voices, but, you know, what do you guys think, like, when that happens or when they lose a game because they couldn't score on a power play? I've always wondered that about, you know, you and Daryl and Bob and Jim.
Yeah, well, you know, we're like you. We live and die with the team. I mean, we're hired by the organization, and I think everybody knows who we'd like to see win. It's not going to happen all the time. But sometimes, yeah, we get frustrated when execution sometimes isn't there, or some games when you have eight power plays and you wind up with three total shots. That's frustrating to watch as a fan or a broadcaster. I'm sure it's frustrating for the players. So, yeah, we're just like you. We're fans. We want to see them win, and we get excited when great things happen and championships are won and big goals are scored, and we get frustrated when things don't go our way.
I think when you look at special teams, they always go in cycles, and the Kings power play coming into tonight's game had goals in five straight, up over 30%. So those numbers, you can't question or argue with those numbers. Yeah, tonight a power play goal, a timely power play goal at the beginning of third, might have opened up a two-goal separation. It didn't happen, but again, they go in cycles, and the Kings penalty kill has been solid. I think they've run off a string now of 15 straight, 19 of their last 20. So you're not going to knock it. I think you got to ride the wave when it's there. And again, just got to be patient.
Before we let you go, Brian, we're running out of time here. But Brian, who is the first member of the Oilers to accumulate 1,000 career penalty minutes? Any idea?
I have two guesses, and I'm going to go with my gut, but I want to tell you my second guess if I don't get. No, I can't tell you that. Well, anyway, my guess is Dave Brown.
Dave Brown, no, incorrect.
Ah.
Thanks for the call. Let's see. We have an Oiler. I'm assuming he's an Oiler fan. You're an Oiler fan? Yeah, okay. We're near the end of the show here. We do want to give away the popcorn, even if it is to an Oiler fan, but who's the right answer?
Can I take two guesses?
No, you get one guess.
Kevin McClelland.
Kevin McClelland is right. Yep. It took an Oiler fan here at the mixing room to win. Make sure you give the ladies your address, and we'll send you the kernels. You have to pop the popcorn since you're an Oilers fan. Nice to meet you. All right. On that note, we will wrap it up here at the mixing room. We head out on the road Monday to Philadelphia. Kings will open up that five-game road trip against the Flyers. 4 o'clock face-off will be on the air at 3:30 with the pregame show on your home for the Kings all season long, Talk Radio 790 KABC. The Kings win it tonight by a score of 4-3. Big night for Tanner Pearson, had a goal and two assists. Marian Gabrick got his second goal. Milan Lucic his fifth. And the game winner with a minute 39 left, Nick Shore. Want to thank the Ice Crew ladies for helping out, Kendall and Stephanie. Behind the scenes, Jose Hernandez, Steve Paylette, John Traconis, Christian Collins, Bob Borgen for the trivia questions. And for Darrell Evans, Nick Nixon saying so long and good night. The Kings finished the homestand going 3-2. They're in first place. 22 points, 3 points up on Arizona, 3 points up on Vancouver. We will talk to you from Philadelphia on Tuesday. So long, everybody.